guy. And you think if you hurt me, then I go away. But I know you don't mind my mind. You know I'm here to stay. Never gonna give up. No matter how you treat me, never gonna get you right. So don't you think I'm leaving. Baby, don't you understand what you're doing to the man? Do you see these tears? You think you're gonna take me and put me on a shelf? I'd rather die than see you with somebody else. Never gonna give you up. No matter how you treat me, never gonna give you up. So don't you stop leaving. Baby, don't you understand to the man. They could.
Wonderful song. Did you like that, Ginny?
I really liked it, Bob. Who was that?
I don't know. Let's check. That was Never Gonna Give You Up. The Black Keys.
Yeah, I like that. I was thinking about that, about you, Bob. I'm like, I'm never gonna give you up, Bob. No matter how you try to leave me, I'm sticking around.
Yeah, your honey vagina walls and talking to Katie at the airport a few hours ago, she got real dirty too, and she talked about my brown Fletcher or something. She went anal on me.
She did.
Yes.
Oh wow! I have to keep it rather toned down because Greg's here. But later, you and I'll be able to have our little way with each other, I'm sure.
I see you've decided overnight, I got to get sexier. Bob's going ahead with all these other girls, and I've been being all nice and proper. Yeah,
that's what I can't. I got to drop my pastoral mantle and get into my sugar candy baby pole dancing Ginny Bell. Otherwise, I'm going to be left behind by the hot, sexy Latino Playboy sisters.
Right, but you know what really seduces me? If you start reading the Goot Gal, the Gutenberg Galaxy, now you can jump ahead of everybody if you start doing that. You start actually reading a couple of McCloon books, well, you get my full attention.
Well, Bob, I really just tried to do it based on my own pure, natural, witty isms and such, but I'm thinking that I may have to succumb to bringing Marshall into our bed, so.
Yes.
All right.
Well, the thing is that Katie she fell off the wagon and went back and reheard the Hillary parts and the other parts. Like, people are dropping off and going back and finding sections that they fetishize over and try to figure out what's going on, trying to figure out what the hell happened to Hillary. So there's subsets happening. You know, people take different days and they form a subculture around it. And they argue it.
Right. Has Hillary called in, or has anyone heard? She analyzed the comments made about her.
Well, Hillary will have me on the show, or she wants to hear what Ion said about the Voynich manuscript. So I wrote her 24 hours ago or something, saying, "Hey, I found where Ion talked about the Voynich manuscript." So she writes back, "Send it to me." So I just decided about an hour ago, what the fuck? I don't send it to her. She has to have me on her show, and I will play it on her show. I don't just send it to her, right? And she can,
that's right.
And she can judge it without me there to guide her. No, that's not healthy. I must help her understand what it is we're listening to. I don't even know what Ion said yet. So that was a little rude, I thought.
Well, I was wondering if people were going to actually try to go back and hear something, because this train is rolling. I mean, you just got to get on the train, hang on the train, and just keep going, because there'll be time to review things after it's over. But I say, don't miss a moment of what's happening live.
Right, and well, that's the difference. Kate jumped off. She did come back in time to hear the second Ion. She didn't miss Ion, I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Okay, so I found a part I want to play. Let's hear. This is me talking to the Evergreens, March 28, 1989. So I will mute you people so that we can have some pure silence. Anonymous came in. Anonymous. That's about it. Okay, unmute
all. All participants are now muted.
Here we go.
Okay. Do you know the diesel we use to purify our water?
Yes.
Okay, that little piece of rock in our water in our house. How does that work? Do you know the procedure of the man who makes it? He puts together these grain particles and mixes them up.
Organic broth. And then a cell appears in it with the peculiar little light in the center of it.
Yes.
That I've never seen before. Then he puts that liquid into a cement matrix, and then that little block of cement purifies water.
It does indeed. But however, in the purification of itself, of water, notice how dirty itself it gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is drawing the molecules that are not hydrogen, not oxygen, not H2O. It is drawing other molecules to itself. It needs to be cleaned somewhat regularly.
Joe Sloan, the man who makes it, doesn't know that.
Well, I think you can see the fuzz developing.
Yes.
But he's never told us to clean it. Would he say you should clean it?
You would say clean it at least once a year.
Yeah. So the thing is attracting. The dirt is sticking.
Yes.
The impurities are sticking to the cement.
Yes. Also, the impurities drop to the bottom of the tank as a precipitate.
But how does it work? Are you saying that the light attracts these?
Now, what it does is that it has a field around itself, a field in which those things associated with other than H2O, it interact. It creates a field around itself.
Mm.
And a surprisingly tight, organized field.
Mm. Does the S cell work the same way?
Yes.
And it's as usable as the D cell?
Yes.
Joe is having amnesia now. He thinks he's going to die. But the formula that he uses, would the Evergreens be able to give it to us someday if it was lost?
Yes. But best get it from him.
You think he would? He's quite secretive. You know, he's not going to give it out.
Yeah. But we would suggest that you yourself say to him, write the formula so that it cannot be copied, because as soon as you write the formula, it is copyrighted. Seal it in an envelope, and I will find a place where no one will find it. Which, of course, you can do.
You mean I get him to write the formula, seal it, and he'll trust me, he'll send it to me, and I'll hide it?
Yes.
Is he the only one? I think his wife may know it.
Yes, she does.
Well, then she can preserve it.
Yes, but Ruth said just do it with him.
He might trust me. I will say I will not open it, you mean?
You'll say you'll put it in a place that they never found, so that if anyone copy it, you will be able to, as a third party, produce the original formula as a protection of his copyright.
He does have the copyright.
He will have copyrighted, of course, as soon as he writes it down.
Oh, he's going to copyright. Okay, but he hasn't done that.
Well, automatically it is copyright.
Oh, I see.
If you write it down.
Right. You don't have to register to the government.
So exactly.
You date it or something like that.
You date it, put it in an envelope.
Mail it,
and that have a date time on it. The post office put that on, and when the stamp is franked, and you could put that where no one would find it. But if there is ever any contesting, you would have, as a third party, a dated piece of information that nobody.
Right, now, he was a little...
Okay, I'm going to just move it forward to the next topic. 4011. 40. Right there. Okay.
What do the Evergreens think is the human people, us, our most impressive technology, our most impressive invention in our history or even now or to come?
Most impressive invention depends upon the society in which the invention is. The most impressive invention in the early society was soap.
Yeah, you've talked about that before, yeah.
Mm. The most impressive of the industrial was insulating brick.
Yeah.
The most impressive of this age is micro work, working at the micro level.
Micro telescopes or...
Microchips,
the fine design, the understanding of energies at that level. That is vital importance. The fusion, important, but fusion far more important. Far more important. And many historians will date the first 2,000 years of since the Nazarene as pre-modern, and the years from 2000 onward as modern.
And fusion is the distinguishing part of the modern age?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you see... What sound totally ridiculous is that fusion can fuel itself, which no physicist would agree with. You cannot fuel a system. However, consider for a moment that the present inefficient system still produces sufficient heat if captured with a thermocouple, would supply the energy for its own self.
Yeah.
few have thought this, and some are saying it is impossible for a system to fuel itself. Which, of course, if you understand E equals MC squared, truthfully to itself, any system can fuel itself.
So the physicists, their concepts are going to have to go through a real revolution just to comprehend what has manifested.
Oh, yes. There's one device that still is being, cause certain physicists to scratch their head, and that is the tunnel diode, where an electron appears two places simultaneously. Impossible. But it does.
Can we call it one more book?
I've got to move the recording forward. This is the end of the first side, 45-minute cassette. Move this forward to see where it hits. Maybe right there.
Continue. I'd tune in on Klaus Barbie, the Nazi war criminal, and his lawyer Jacques Verge in the trial a couple of years ago. Do you have him, Evergreens?
We have Barbie, we have Verge, yes.
Verge is a very controversial lawyer, and he disappeared from 1970 approximately to 1978. Was he involved in intelligence work or something in Cambodia? Or did he go underground?
No, he was in Argentina.
What was he doing here?
Talking with a number of people who are wondering what would happen if they were captured.
Yes. Why? Yes?
Created a fund. Bund, B-U-N-D, fund. In case anyone is kidnapped or moved from a secure country.
For other war criminals.
For other war criminals, yes.
What in his background, and he was supposed to be a leftist in the 60s, what attracted him and got him involved in that network? Was he a deep cover intelligence agent for them all along?
No. He was observed in the Barbie trial as someone who could be groomed and used.
Well, the Barbie trial happened in 87. We're talking 70 to 78.
True. But he still was observed from that perspective.
Groomed now?
Hmm? Still being groomed.
For future capturing?
Yes.
But
we see that individual in the 70s in Argentina.
Meeting with these Nazis?
Yes.
Why would he want to help them?
Because he thinks they're right.
So he thinks they're right. He wasn't really a leftist, or he didn't have a positive motives in his involvement in politics in the 60s.
No, not greatly.
And it's just his personal characteristic. He doesn't represent a cover person for other networks.
No.
Not a brainwashed person.
No, not a brainwashed, no.
Just his nature attracts him to that.
Yes.
All right. Any more you would say about that?
You've not heard the last of him.
All right. Or the Nazi network.
Or the Nazi network, yes.
I had a dream about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I think it's the first dream I ever had where Dr. Peter, you know Dr. Peter Peter,
yes,
came to me. And the dream was about, oh, he's back, and he has some new news to tell us. And he was going to tell us something was going to happen in June this year. So there was a great sense of urgency that Dr. Peter had come back to tell us. I don't know if it was a warning or something, but something was going to happen in June. What was in my subconscious, or did I really talk to him, or what was that dream about? You need to locate him?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
This will only titillate your interest. But we cannot tell you.
You can't tell me what the dream was about?
We can tell you the dream was real. We can tell you that the dream is right. And yes, we can tell you he does have things to say. And yes, you will have another dream with him.
So I did meet him the end?
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed.
I mean, I see him as Dr. Meter, as he's not in that form now, you know, but it's his essence I'm talking to. And my dream mind makes him look like I imagine him to be with a suit on or something.
Everything. Put it to however it is easiest to accept.
Yeah. It doesn't relate to the extraterrestrial thing that may be coming pretty soon.
No comment. And you are at somewhat of a historic occasion. For that is the first time we have said that in this particular sequence in the past 15 years.
Well, you've just hinted to me.
No comment.
Okay. Is there anything Dr. Peter would like to say to me if you have him there in reference to his family, or any advice, anything you'd like to say?
What he's saying is thank you for the support. Thank you for the warmth with the family.
And I will be involved with him more in the future.
Yes. But, he thank you for that. He thank you for the warmth. He thank you for the caring. And if you'd only known each other 40 years ago, how things would have been different.
Is he having a message for Sandy Champion?
Yes, he says, beware of paranoids.
You mean Sandy's a little paranoid?
No, that Sandy is to beware of paranoids.
Okay, is that sufficient?
Yes. Okay. Same as Sandy. It's not as bad as it seems.
Oh, how about his movie?
Okay, do you need to note that? That's where the first time, in Greg, that the UFO thing was acknowledged. Did you catch that? Oh, I got to demute you guys. Just a second. Unmute all.
All participants are now unmuted.
The ending of what?
The UFO thing. Was that when she said...
Yeah, that was the ending. It went on talking about Sandy Champion's movie, and that's not of interest to anybody in general. So did you catch where Dr. Beter has a dream? Or no, I have a dream of Dr. Beter, and I'm asked what it is, and they won't tell me. And then we wonder if it's an E.T. thing, and then they say yes. And then they say that's the first time they ever acknowledged the E.T. phenomenon directly in the present. And... we talk a bit about it for the next few months, and then they shut down. And George couldn't get anything out of them after that. I couldn't get anything out of them. They said it was too important, the E.T. contact, for them to influence it by telling somebody on the planet about it. Then one person knows it affects everybody else.
Well, I'll be a little bit more specific from the information that I have vis-a-vis our friend, is that they wouldn't give... any indication of, and in their terms, when the ambassador will come.
Right.
And that's how they phrased it.
Did you hear? Do you want me to replay it, what he said? See, they wouldn't tell me what the dream was about.
Right.
And I seem to guess it's about E.T. contact. And they said yes, and then said, and that is the first time we have acknowledged that.
Got it.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I heard that part, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened, that is March 28, 1989. Well, the contact happens in June, and I'm looking for the, where I find out about it in probably September. So I can play that part. Because I say, Doctor, you know, I bring up Dr. Beter's dream again. I said, wait a minute. Is this what Dr. Beter's dream was? And they go, yes. So here it is, September 12, 1989. I will attempt to play this for you. September 12th, 89, part one. Okay. So, September 12th, 209, okay. 209.
And hi. Hey, let me go turn my heater off.
Okay, so I'm going to, Greg, I'm going to put you on mute and play you in and out, because I got to delete this and that, and then play, then delete, play, delete.
Oh.
So are you ready, Greg?
Yes, Bob. I just stay on mute as not to disrupt it. But, yeah, we're ready here.
Right. Okay. So I'll be going, stopping and starting here. So this is that the 3 and 9, 6 months later, this is the way, this is what happens.
Why are you doing that?
Didn't I put you on mute? No, I didn't. Sorry.
All participants are now muted.
Okay, so you're 209.
Greetings, Evergreen.
Greetings, ma'am.
I guess we'll continue with the AIDS situation. One lingering question is that the Evergreen said that I should look for a headline, AIDS fades in April. I didn't see it. Did anything like that appear in the media?
Yes, there was a piece on the diminishment of the cycle of AIDS, that those that who being infected with AIDS, that it seems to be less virulent as that which was once evident.
And where was that?
That was in the Globe and Mail.
In April?
In April, yes.
Can you give me the date so I can...
28th of April.
All right, so it was not on the cover?
No, not on the cover.
So it was behind, so we couldn't see it. So the AIDS Fades title didn't happen, but the story was in the Globe and Mail.
Yes.
In a lower profile.
Yes.
All right, so is there anything that the Evergreen should advise me in when we should release the story? Should I have done it back then?
Now is more of a time than ever. As a story, not as a fact, but a supposition, a preposition. Wouldn't it be interesting if you go under that fairy tale designation, there's much we can tell you.
Now, remember I played Michael the tape? I did kind of do that.
Okay, so I got to move this forward just a bit. I'm moving the recording ahead a bit. A few more seconds.
I talked about the scenario of the perfect military weapon that would not kill people, but would have an immunity decreased and then brought back to normal. Remember that I played that for my
Yes. Home?
Now, that is what you mean? I mean, I did that.
You'll be able to expand on that.
Okay, now you can tell me some things, all right? Do I have to come up with the right question?
No, Ruth, first of all, how would you spread such that as the ideal experiment? You would spread that through a system which would be giving various serums to people as a matter of course. You see, the World Health Organization was in the process of wiping out smallpox at the time.
Yes.
So what are you doing if you're wiping out smallpox? And especially if you're only going to introduce a test system that everyone has been assured well, all it will do is lower immunity rates in certain areas, and some will catch various airborne diseases such as yeast infections, such as pneumococci, but nothing serious. Everyone has been assured of this. It would have a debilitating effect, and the effect would be noted. It could be hidden under the program that is being done in smallpox. No one needs to know much about it. Certain infected batches of vaccine can be given, coded. All of it was coded. And you look at the effect in the area, and possibly would have a lethality of 0.001%. Acceptable for the test. Everyone agrees. Then it is more virulent than they thought. And it blew out of proportion.
That was 1978-79.
Yes.
And you've just given the way the project was proposed to certain WHO authorities?
Not WHO. WHO did not know.
But it was... This, you just gave me the thinking of how it was proposed among the team that did it.
Yes.
I see. And
WHO was used as a cover.
The smallpox program.
Yes, because everyone was receiving injections of one type or another.
Now, there has been some information, am I right, Carolyn, that's come out, articles written about suspecting WHO.
Suspecting smallpox programs because it was in the same areas.
Exactly.
In Brazil, in Africa.
Exactly.
But what if the... hepatitis vaccines that were given to the gays, was that a similar project?
No. Many of the hepatitis you see, the object of any testing program is to localize it. Not to bring in too much of a problem. You see, once it is decided that if you would take an existing viri, which would have a tendency to affect the immune system, then alter that viri so it would be affecting the immune system to a greater extent and would reproduce within itself on a cyclical basis of, let us suggest, 24 hours. The virulency rate would go down every 24 hours by 50%. It was gone in 2 days. Only trace residues would even exist. And since it would be a very hard virus to transmit, it is not an airborne virus. It is a contact virus. So it is very good for population. You see, especially this person would touch that person, and wherever there would be certain fluids exchanged, certain bodily, but not airborne, you see? It was the ideal idea. Physical contact, absolutely necessary. Would not be transmitted unless there was a physical contact. Would spread could be done through airborne, could be done through various things. But the ideal opportunity was to follow the smallpox teams, intermingle with the smallpox teams, be legitimate with the smallpox teams, be part of smallpox teams. Not WHO. No, they were not responsible. But that, various teams knew.
Various teams what?
Various teams knew that, or believed that they knew that something was being added. but they did not know what.
And didn't pursue.
Did not pursue the questionings, was not necessary. But consider the ideal weapon.
Well, not so much the virulence of the AIDS virus as the lack of health already in the population. Malnutrition, already immune system depressed in Africa and the AIDS population.
So therefore all you needed was a small amount.
But is that true that it's not such a virulent virus, but the people it attacks have to be already almost ill?
No, it attacketh a healthy organism. But under its testing conditions, and the lethality percentage, the LD was very low. And kept track of teams, kept track of people.
The LD, what's that?
Those count, possible time to kill people.
Is that what you mean by LD?
Yes.
Yeah. This was in 1978?
78.
Yeah. All right, then, unless the Evergreens have more to add on that point, I'm not sure where to go with the questioning, so I'd like to introduce this document here. This was a letter written in February 1989 from a man named Samuel Evans, chairman of the National Council of Public Auditors, to members of the Congressional Black Caucus in the United States, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and many others. And it says that they name a man named Colonel David Huxall, commander of the U.S. Army Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, Maryland, has received $60 million for research in biological ethnic weapons.
Yes.
And then they ask, It is a coincidence that Fort Detrick, which is where Colonel Huxall's biological warfare research is being conducted, is also the site of AIDS research.
No coincidence at all.
So does this letter name the man?
It names the man.
That's the team member.
That is the person who is in charge of all of this and knows far more than is being released.
And then the next item of interest in this letter, it is alleged that Michael Myers, M-E-I-E-R-S, an engineer, stated in his new book, now I don't know what the new book is, I haven't seen it, that the development of ethnic weapons is a reality, and he lists factions within the CIA's participants.
Yes.
Also a former chief of the U.S. Army Chemical and Biological Warfare Division, and Myers names him, is said to have cultured the AIDS virus. Do we know who he names in the book?
He names in the book, but we do not have the name. But the book will be in your possession within less than 2 months.
Will I get it through Tom Davis in California? Or, I don't know where to get it, I've never heard of it.
Mm.
I'll find out.
Yes, write also the writer of that letter.
Samuel Evans, yes.
Yes.
All right, so that this letter, which was sent in February 89, that kind of... Coincides with what the Evergreen said last September. The information will come out pretty soon, and here's this letter being circulated in Washington. It's naming the man. Who knows?
Yes.
He's being named.
Yes.
Now, the Evergreen say that he and his team have covered their tracks.
Oh, they've covered their tracks very well, but nonetheless, certain things cannot be covered.
So that
comes out across the next several months.
in other words, the pressure will be on him over the next few months.
Yes.
And he will have to deal with the class or lawsuits and things like that?
He will deal with more than that. The U.S. government knows that if this comes to a head, the publicity would condemn them internationally. And they're saying, how can we soften the blow?
This is what they're wrestling with now.
Yes.
And who's saying this? The George Bush or the people at Fort Detrick?
It is more that this more involved the White House, in that the president knows that this ethnicity of approach is while military. Correct, is internationally abhorred. And you find that biological weapons, you'll hear more of this in the news, that the United States has moved to ban biological weapons manufacture. You'll see that they will push this very strongly. They will also, at the same time, say that why they're doing it is because of the Iraq-Iran situation. And the United States will condemn Iran for the manufacture of biological weapons, which they have been using. They will beat the drum to have Iran ostracized unless Iran formally at The Hague renounce biological weapons and at through the UN renounce biological weapons. At that time, you will hear more about the AIDS virus as a biological weapon. The United States will then say that the AIDS virus, they believe, is the resultant of chemical weapons testing, biological weapons manufacture, somewhere, but they do not know where, but that they know that it is not themselves, they know that it is not the Soviet Union, they're not too sure about China. And the Chinese biological weapons testing will be brought to the forefront next. They, of course, will deny anything to do with the AIDS virus. The United States is spreading this around to obfuscate the issue. And they will say that it is possible, because one of their biological weapons testing centers, which of course is going out of business, because the United States is violently against biological weapons testing, was able to replicate the manufacture of the AIDS virus. And if they could do it, then someone else could do it. Chemically made AIDS virus. They will say, we have done it, so therefore, who else did it first? That would be the scenario. Nobody, of course, would admit to being first because they were not first. And it will go down as one of those international secrets that no one wishes to uncover.
Wouldn't the matter like this that exposes a lot of this? I mean, wouldn't that make a difference?
Not much. They will say, yes, of course it's true. We do have an AIDS center there. In fact, we replicated the AIDS virus just as someone else did.
They'll say that as the pressure comes on Huxley.
As the pressure comes on Huxley, yes, but do not forget, the United States will lead in this by demanding that biological weaponry be closed down. Then they will move pressure upon Iran. Then they will cast aspersions on China. Politically, it's useful. Then they will say, announce that they have already at Dietrich replicated through normal viri, they created the AIDS virus. And if that is technologically available to themselves, then it's technologically available to others. Now, the Americans themselves will, of course, say it was not themselves, and they will say that they know for absolute fact that it is not the Soviet Union, because the Soviet Union is also cutting back on its biological warfare capabilities. Several things will be accomplished. First, harmoniousness between the Soviet Union and the United States will be further reaffirmed. The president will be able to announce to the populace and to the world that we are spending less on biological weapons, the president of the Soviet Union, Gorbachev, will announce to the populace and to the world that they have ceased making biological weapons and the money would be used elsewhere. Who is left holding the bag? China will be properly indignant, but the United States, with its advanced surveillance capabilities inside the country, will produce evidence that that China is producing a vast amount of biological weapons, much of it being stockpiled. Iran will be forced publicly, because of its exposure also in using biological weapons, will publicly announce to the world, through the UN and through The Hague, that it is no longer using biological weapons. And it becomes so obfuscated that no one says who can point the finger. Letters such as that which you have can be said, of course you would believe that you did not know the entire story. Interesting sidelight, but not fact. Dietrich has long been a biological weapons testing center, and that is the obvious place to investigate the AIDS virus and that which would neutralize it. These people are experts at this. And so it goes.
So Huxall is the man.
Huxall is the man.
So where will he continue? Now, the Evergreens told us last reading that the research is going on. They're going to make, develop more biological weapons.
Yes.
Or correct the mistakes they made with AIDS and make better controllable weapons or viruses. Mm. This will be continued by Huxall? Or
Huxall is a figurehead at the present time. Realize that he will be drawn to account. You'll see that this person will stand tall and say, yes, sir, we have the AIDS virus here. We manufactured it. We proved it can be done. It can be done using the simple viri. Treat it, and you eventually create an AIDS virus. It is a man-made virus. We have proved it.
He'll be the public figurehead, but he also was part of that secret team back in 78.
He was one of those that knew, yes.
He wasn't the originator of the idea.
No, he was not the originator of the idea. But realize that there are certain scenarios that are being continually created by the Defense Department. Scenarios that can be best described as sheer fantasy. In other words, what would happen if? And one of these scenarios is, what if there were a biological weapon that lasts 24 hours, affects the immune system, causes incapacitation of large numbers of the population, yet over the simplest instructions, your own troops are safe? Well, possibly it may not last 24 hours. Possibly it would last 2 months. And possibly it can be so engineered that the LD ratio is 100%. But all you have to do is to give your troops a simple instruction, and they are immune from this. And the simple instruction is, have no physical contact with the enemy. Keep them at arm's distance. And they'll die. They did not realize how lethal it would be. They did not realize how virulent it would be. You see, Carolyn, you brought up a point of many people have their own immune systems depleted. That was also considered. But what was not considered was that the pathology of the immune system in that area means that the person would immediately produce a internal systemology that would advance the virus. It grew. It spread.
Does rectilator course in Africa play a part? Like,
oh, yes.
More of that there than you say North America?
Oh.
In between heterosexuals?
More on a percentage basis, yes. But it was going to be thought that it would spread more through cuts and skin abrasions. That hotbeds of infection would be hospitals. So that you would know where your system has created and what your system has created.
It was planted in hospitals?
No.
No, it wasn't?
Yeah. Now, that is where most skin abrasions have contact. That it would work also through anal intercourse. Yes.
No, they weren't targeting homosexuals.
No.
No. That just being okay. How did the Huxley and this team accept the mistake they made? Did they have any conscience about what they created?
Some of them, yes, some of them, no. You have to understand the thinking of those that work in biological weaponry.
So people are going to think they're pretty monstrous.
Some do, some do not.
Some do not think. They think it's part of war and survival.
You see, there are 3 billion people in this planet. How many people have died from AIDS? Fewer than those who've died through road accidents.
Yeah. Okay. What's the time on this coming out? When will Huxley makers become a public figure?
Across the next 6 months. Realize it has to be orchestrated. Realize it has to be done with some panache. First step, decry chemical weapons. Big announcement across the next month that an agreement between the United States and the Soviet Union is to cut back on all weaponry, including specifically biological weapons research. Notice that they don't say biological weapons manufacture, only biological weapons research. You see, no one is making biological weapons. Everyone is researching. You see? Fine distinction, but still a distinction. The next step will be the United States will condemn the use of biological weapons in Iran and Iraq. You see? Next step would be the announcement that the United States triumphantly has found a way to manufacture artificially the AIDS virus. And that possibly this could have been done also prior to the United States manufacture by other countries who engage in biological weapons research. They would then point the finger at China because of the biologicals that they were used in Tibet. Much secret material comes out from cabinets. You see? Pictures, descriptions, horrible stories. There will even be articles about World War I mustard gas. You see?
So this letter, how did these people find out? How did Myers find out the list of these people? How did they find this information?
Well, he had an idea in his mind that the AIDS virus is too pat. Why now? Why is it flaring out of cycle with certain other diseases? There are cycles of diseases. Cycles of meningitis, cycles of polio, cycles of etc., etc. This one is out of cycle. Where are the cycles of AIDS, even within Africa, say coming from the green monkey. But where are the cycles of AIDS in the green monkey? One could say that no one has thoroughly researched them. But it was never known as the monkey disease. And it seemed to be specifically localized. Now, here's Hatton. And what he did was, he did this, you'll see this in the book, that he began to write on a sheet of paper where AIDS was noticed, where it was diagnosed, etc., etc. And the pattern that he drew on a map seemed very familiar to him. So he looked into his research and he began to realize that that was exactly the same pattern of that effort that was done to rid the world of smallpox. You see?
Yeah.
Put two and two together, came up with four, and started writing.
And when did he do this, last year or earlier this year?
That was done last year.
And is his life in danger?
No. No, he can be used. Why kill him?
Yeah.
So Bob's original question was, where does he go from here as far as publicizing, and what kind of information of this nature can he use?
We would suggest that you write a fairy story.
A different one.
A fairy story that says that if this fairy story is interesting, here is how the fairy story would go across the next 6 months. That the United States would triumphantly say that they've created the AIDS virus in the laboratory, and that, et cetera, the pattern that was shown you.
And what was the last word?
Yes, the pattern was shown you.
All right, now, so that means, can I play the tape that Dave Newcott and I have altered slightly?
Yes.
I can play that maybe in the next show.
Yes.
And then do the fairy tale after that show.
Yes.
In other words, say this is what the original plan was, and feature that.
Yes.
And then do the fairy tale as to predict the future.
Yes.
I see. And so have we altered the tape well enough?
You've altered it well enough.
Yeah, because already the evergreen sound altered. So yeah. We made our voices sound altered, even though it doesn't alter the evergreens too much.
Mm.
So that work? You're satisfied with that?
It works, yes. It's satisfactory.
Okay. I think we should go on to another topic at this point. That's thank you very much for the evergreens. We now wrapped it up. That wraps up the case at this point.
Several times.
All right.
So, I'll unmute for this.
All participants are now unmuted.
Hey, Bob, Greg.
Yes, Greg.
Just to help give a little bit of background, and I think Nick Evergreen said this, don't remember who, or our collective friend, but the objective of warfare is not to kill people. The objective of warfare is to injure someone, because that injured person can take three or four people to have them be taken care of. That means instead of killing one person, which needs no care, you now have four people tied up who can't fight. So the objective is not to kill someone, but to injure them, and therefore it takes more manpower to look after them. So that was the reason, you know, from a warfare point of view, they would look at something that would cause the immune system to be depressed, the person to get a cold, the flu, diarrhea. Well, that means they can't be in the battlefield.
That's right. And that I'm going to play where that was unveiled. That was unveiled September 13, 1988, and this is a year later. On September 11th, there's that 911, 1988, at the end of the second Mysteries of History, I was telling you or Ginny or a bunch of people, at the end of the session, Dave Neufeld pipes up and says, how did AIDS get created? And Deverings gave a short answer. So I had a private session 2 days later on September 13th and asked the question and got the answer. And you will hear it, Greg, and it spells it out. That's the main principle, but they develop it to another level. And so then the Evergreens, Mike was a bit pissed off that this information came out because he didn't like conspiracy.